Everyone, it is Friday, February the 26th, 2021. I will call to order the meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Welcome, everyone. Look forward to a good, constructive meeting. A couple of announcements. The LANDS 2020 agenda item has been moved to March. We will not deal with that today. And there will be a second executive session. There will be one today and one on Friday, and we can talk about that in a little while. Anyone have any questions about either one of those items yet?
Larry, and thank you for reminding me. So the gray humpback whale PSR is just a briefing, a public hearing, not a decision.
Okay, thank you for that, Nikki. So noted. Okay, we will then get started with our agenda. Today, item one, commissioners' discussion. Commissioners, do you have any items of discussion this morning? Somebody's got to have something. No?
Kim has her hand up. So does.
Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Thorburn, please.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to let everyone know that the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council Board of Directors had a presentation by Chris Parrish and Leland Brown of the non-led partnership. The presentation was last week. They are looking into how they can work with the partnership to promote the use of non-led ammunition. So I was able to sit in on the presentation. It was a little bit.
Lorna, you need to mute yourself, please.
It was a little bit different than the one that we received in December of 2019. It was directed specifically to hunters. I learned a lot. But I'm really excited to see this opportunity to perhaps move forward with the non-led partnership work that we instituted in December 2019.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Anyone else this morning? Okay, we will move on then. You better stay close, Kim. We're on meeting minute approval now. Your area of expeditious movement. So. We are on, we have January 28 to 30 draft minutes for 2021 and February 12th, 2021 draft minutes.
Okay, I will make the motions and I'll do one set at a time. So I move to approve the Washington's Fish and Wildlife Commission minutes of January 28th through 30th, 2021. As submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, sounded like Commissioner Linville, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Kim.
I move to approve the February 12th, 2021. the February 12th, 2021. Washington Fish and Wildlife minutes as submitted.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Commissioner Linville is a second. Again, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Well done. Okay, we are now in committee reports. I'll take them in the order that I have them here on the on my sheet. Wildlife Committee first, please.
The Wildlife Committee has met twice since our last meeting on February 12th. The first meeting was about a week ago, and we had a presentation from the cougar management team, the internal cougar management team. Eric Gardner provided the presentation. There were a number of members of the team also present at the call. You'll recall that following the testimony from Northeast Washington about a year ago, we asked it predates that. It goes back to the Spokane meeting about 2 years ago, hearing the concerns, the public safety concerns. We worked with staff and they've developed an internal Cougar management team to really flesh out issues. We've seen their working document. They're working in several different areas. And this was just an update on the work that's been undertaken so far. It was a good discussion, opportunity to ask questions. Yesterday's meeting was a presentation of the three-year packet, the three-year hunting packet, which the full commission will be hearing and hold a hearing in the March meeting, the end of March. Since it's the three-year packet and the CR 102 is now out, it's going to be a bit more than our usual interim hunting rules. And it was an opportunity for the committee to review the process and look at some of the rules that we think are going to generate considerable public interest and an opportunity for us to ask questions. That was essentially the agenda at the committee.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn, for that. Commissioner McIsaac has a hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question about the first meeting on the cougar safety issue. I wondered if you could elaborate a little bit on where you see the next steps going on that matter.
There's a lot of effort that's going on. There are four areas. I have trouble remembering the table. Outreach and education, science, they're working with enforcement, they've put together a science review panel that is just starting. It includes both scientists from our agency as well as four external experts, and they're going to develop report on the best science on cougar management. So that's one of the big efforts that we're looking forward to and we'll be following along.
At one point, there was some discussion about opening the game management plan, that section dealing with cougars. Is that still in the mix as a consideration as the process moves forward?
It's not immediate. We changed the population or we added some information to the population estimates for those cougar management units where the harvest was hitting that guideline very regularly. And we've only done that for 1 year. So at this point, we're reviewing, we're going to follow how that goes. But that's hunting. And this group is really looking more at the public safety portion of cougar management, which is two distinct functions in the department. Hunting is managed in one way, and the cougar public safety is really kind of a separate management area. And this particular group is looking more at the public safety part of it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. We have two hands up. I'll go first, if I may, to Commissioner Kuntz, and then to Deputy Director Winthrop. And Kim, Oh, you don't have your hand up. Okay, Commissioner Kuntz, please.
Kim, I just wanted to say that I really appreciated that presentation and meeting on the cougar safety. I was very surprised, however, that the review committee that was established by the team did not include any academics or NGO scientists. The four external reviewers are all from other state wildlife agencies, as far as I can tell. And this is such a wide-ranging subject, and so many academics and NGO scientists are involved. I think it would have been perceived better, not necessarily a better product, but it would be perceived better if there was a wider external review perspective. And also, just a quick comment about the separation, it appeared, between hunting and the safety issue. I think that's a mistake, because there's increasing evidence that hunting is related to safety. And I think we really need to tackle that that area of concern.
Commissioner Thorburn, did you want to respond to that or just move on?
I don't need to respond. Fred did bring that up, the concern about the makeup of the panel, and I think staff took note of that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Kuntz. Does that wrap up your comments? Okay. Deputy Winthrop, are you?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I would like to just add to Commissioner Thorburn's response to Commissioner Mike Isaac. The game management plan will open this summer. That was our scheduled plan. It opens on, I think, every 6 years. It is opening this summer. And so if the commission's will is to explore the cougar elements of the game management plan, it will be open in the coming months.
Thank you, Deputy Winthrop. Okay, that wraps up the Wildlife Committee meeting. Next is the Habitat Committee meeting. Commissioner Baker, excuse me, Vice Chair Baker, please.
Actually, that's part of the new deal. That will be Commissioner Linville.
Habitat. Okay, I did ask for the rest of the commission. I did ask Commissioner Linville to agree to chair the Habitat Committee. Here she is. She's going to bring her first comments forward to us.
Remember when I said it was going to be so much more prepared next time I needed to talk about Habitat? Well, I really meant in two iterations, I'll be much more prepared. So we had a great presentation. I'm so sorry. I'm really caught off guard. You know what, Barbara, so that this is done well, I'll give my perceptions of it. And then I would just really invite the other committee members that were in the Habitat meeting to add, because I know I'm going to forget and I want to make sure that I do it justice. So we talked about, fish screens and the future of what that's going to look like as far as, it was explained to us that 8% of the fish barriers are under county roads, which was encouraging to me, because that feels like a nut that we can crack. And so we talked about a little bit like that the department does have regulation authority, even when over some of these barriers, even when there is not connected to an HPA request. And so that was news to me, and that and there's a whole separate policy around that. And that is what is being worked on now. And then we had, and that was, Morgan was the one who presented that. I'm forgetting the woman's name.
Gabrielle Stillwater.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Thank you for saving me. And I apologize to Gabrielle. She did a wonderful job. And then we had a presentation from Jeff Davis on some of the legislation that's going on or has been dropped off the map around environmental regulations and around climate change and around some of these fish barrier type of things. So please, other commissioners, please weigh in, because I did not do that justice.
Okay, well, this is Barbara. You did too do it justice. That's exactly what we did. The one thing that we didn't do that we wanted to was take a look at the shrub step video, which apparently Molly's a star at in. I haven't seen it yet. There may be a new career out there for Molly Linville. The thing about the shrub step video that I want to note is that it is getting a lot of attention, not only in the state, but in other states. And I know that we all have too much to do that we actually have to do, but there's a couple of really good things that if we have a chance or if we don't see anything we want to watch on Netflix, we should actually sit down and look at. And I think that's one of them. And that's what I'm going to do this weekend. So other than that, that's what we did in Habitat, as far as I'm concerned.
Well done, Molly and Vice Chair Baker. Thank you for that. Commissioner Coons, you have your hand up, please.
I just wanted to add one other thing that came up at the meeting that I thought was really very impressive. And that is this whole business of fish passage, of course, in the face of climate change, as we replace culverts throughout the state, you know, understanding how big do you make a culvert if you're looking out 50, 75 years in the face of climate change? And Tim Quinn and his team, including Jane Atha, have done some amazing climate change research on about the design of culverts in the face of climate change. And this is hugely important. One, just economically, I mean, who would want to spend $1 million on a culvert and then find out you undersized it and had to replace it in 10 years? And this work that Jane and Tim and others have done in the science division, first of all, it's highlighted on recording. If you missed the fish science meeting this week, it was outstanding. And that recording is part of the overall conference. But anyway, this research has won awards and they're getting calls from all over the nation to share it with them. So I think it's something we can really be proud of that the science of the Habitat program has done. It was really very, really amazing.
Thank you for your comments, Commissioner Coons. Okay, that wraps up Habitat Committee. Big Tent Committee, Vice Chair Baker, please.
Well, we also had a good committee yesterday afternoon. We did essentially three things. The first was we did a report card on the sort of updating where we are on the strategic plan. And you'll remember that basically we put our work of the strategic plan, into four categories. That was conservation, engagement, science, and model operational excellence, which is essentially internal agency pieces. And there are a whole bunch of action items that we need to do, sort of in excess of 70. This is a 25-year plan. So staff have been working to winnow that down to a workable number. They came up with 34 near-term actions spread amongst those four categories. And then needing to stage this work, they winnowed that down a bit further in each of the four buckets of the plan. Without going into all of that, we have asked staff, this is Jeff Davis is the lead on this, Rob Geddes did most of the presenting, and we asked them to send those just the bullets of what the staff have prioritized for working on to all of us. And so if you get something that looks a little weird, that's what it is. And, you know, if you really are interested in this, you can compare that to the near-term actions in the plan itself and see if you think they've miscalculated. But I was real happy with it, especially real happy because this plan is groundbreaking. It's very, very different. And what they talked about was the need to make it a real template for our actions. Nate also spent some time talking about the interface between the plan and the budget and what we asked for. And the idea that he's working right now to hire a consultant to work with us about how we do turn our ideas and values into money. And I absolutely love that. After that, we had a half hour long talk with Amy. This is another thing. I mean, everybody should have seen this. And I hope, Amy, you can send your slides out to the rest of us. It was on science, and it was on how we use science and the difference sort of between science and policy and which informs which, and the process by which we come to decisions, all the things that are folded into it, including science. I thought it was an outstanding presentation. I think it was a subset of the presentation that Fred just talked about with a big couple of day fish science panel that happened earlier last week. And then the last thing we did is we actually had we got to see our three chief scientists in the agency, who are Tim Quinn for Habitat, Lori Peterson for the Fish Program, and Jerry Nelson for the Wildlife Program. And they each talked a little bit about their work and the work of the people that work in their areas. And to me, what was really incredible was just the sheer number of people who are out there doing what, quote, quote, science. Lori's area, there's 200 staff people, I guess the bulk of which are scientists, out there working every single day. The Habitat program is small but mighty. Tim said he had about 20 staff. They're just winning national awards all over the place. And then Jerry Nelson talked about the wildlife scientists and the amount of work they did. One of the things that I asked is that, at least for my own self, I'd like to actually see some of those scientists more often. We see a lot of the fish guys. We don't see as much as the from Habitat and Wildlife, and they both Tim and Jerry were real excited about. Well, I don't know if they're excited. They were very amenable to coming and talking to us. So we ran out of time. We have set just sort of leftover agenda items for next meeting. That's Carrie McCausland on our school curriculum, which is a pretty successful program, I think. Working on a new conservation policy for the commission, and also looking at our mission statement. So that's what we did. Any questions or additions? Did I miss anything?
You did well. Commissioner Smith has her hand up, and then Commissioner Linville, please. You need to unmute, Lorna. There you go.
Sorry, couldn't hit the button right. I agree with Barbara. That was a really great presentation. And I just wanted to drop the suggestion with Deputy Director Windrop. It would be great to have an internal page, and maybe there is one and I just don't know about it, but that explained to staff everything we saw yesterday about the 25-year plan and what's going on with science. I mean, I felt really proud to be part of this agency after watching all that, and I think it would be good for internal morale too to be able to be exposed to all of that and know what's going on. So just my suggestion.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Commissioner Linville, please.
Well, I think this kind of builds on what Commissioner Smith just said. Now very disappointed. I was already disappointed that I didn't make a big tent, but now I'm really disappointed. And I'm wondering if there maybe it seems like that sounds like Deputy Director's presentation would be excellent for a full commission. And then also, I think, you know, what even though the Habitat Committee was public, maybe that's a full commission meeting presentation, because we do get so many comments about whether or not we're using science to make decisions. And so that might sort of daylight it for the public. So just a suggestion, not a demand or a blue sheet or anything like that.
No, good thoughts, Commissioner Lindbo. Commissioner Smith, your hand's still up. You want to take that down? Okay. Deputy Windrop, please.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. So for those of you who missed the presentation, the science policy presentation, as Commissioner Kuntz mentioned, it is recorded in the Fish Science, and Lori's going to send you all the link to that. So you guys can, it's really the first day, the first presentation of the second day. And so you can check it out there. And I think the science policy conversation is just starting, and we will absolutely be bringing it to both the committee and to the full commission, because you all are an integral part of the policy side of the science policy interface. We want to make sure we're moving as sort of one forward.
Thank you very much for that, Amy. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay, we have one other committee that met. That's the executive committee. And that is made up of myself, Vice Chair Baker, Commissioner McIsaac, and Commissioner Thorburn. And Vice Chair Baker and Deputy Director Windrup are going to do a report on that committee meeting.
Okay, so thank you, Larry. The executive committee is usually it's dealing with catch-all things that affect the commission that don't really relate to policy and are sort of management decisions, essentially. And we haven't met often in the past, but we have met a couple of times since we've renewed ourselves. The thing that we talked about mostly at our meeting was a really good thing. We are trying to be more relevant and to make ourselves more available and accountable and transparent to everyone in this state. And one of the side effects of being virtual is that many, many, many more people are trying to talk to us. And we've all felt the pressure of having more public comment than we have allotted time to. So we batted around ideas about how to deal with that, number one. And number two, the fact that the way that our commission meetings are sort of staged through the year, at some times our commission meetings are just too jam-packed full for us to really be open to a ton of public comment and then have any time to talk amongst ourselves. So we talked about what we could do. We talked a little bit, not much, about strategies for dealing with two full agendas. We did make some sort of decisions. We shaped the way that we could take as public comment with the goal of having as many people in this state who want to talk to us have the opportunity to do so. And Amy takes better notes than I, so Larry asked her to tell you guys what we decided. So Amy, let me know if that isn't accurate, and please go through the little decisions points that we made.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Baker. Okay, so on the decision points around improving the public comment period, essentially for the Friday morning and the Saturday morning open comment periods, the decision is going to be that we're going to close those registrations at 8 a.m. on Friday and at 8 a.m. on Saturday for those comment periods. So folks need to register before it starts so that we know sort of the scope of what we're looking at. Another piece that we talked about was public hearings governed by the APA. And after public comment is closed following the public hearing governed by the APA, the commission will not consider either written or verbal public input on that topic. We need to, when we close those hearings, the record then is complete. And so we want to make sure that we're not creating issues for us around APA. So verbal or written comments on topics currently closed are discouraged, and those comments will not be considered by the commission or entered into the record of decision relative to the issue for which the public hearing was held. We talked a little bit about SEPA comments. SEPA comments need to be received by the department prior to the closure of the SEPA comment period. And once that period is closed, additional comments will not be entered into the record. We also talked about the challenge of commissioners receiving written comments in the middle of the day on Friday and Saturday, and you know, trying to listen to the conversation, trying to listen to the public while also receiving emails and comments, and that doesn't afford commissioners the chance to be as thoughtful as or to pay as much attention in the moment. And so written comments to inform the commission of the upcoming meeting needs to be received by Thursday, 8 a.m. prior to the Friday meeting, such that commissioners have a chance to read prior to the meeting. And any public comments received during the commission meeting will be distributed the following Monday to commissioners. Registration for public, so now we're on to specific agenda items. Registration for specific agenda items will be closed just prior to the agenda topic. And that's in keeping with how we ran meetings when we were in person. We are going to call on registrants to speak so that folks don't need to raise their hands. There's always a little bit of confusion around the hand raising. So Nikki will actually call people's names. We will remain with the time limit, 3 minutes. During open public comment, a comment that is for an item later on the agenda will not really be entertained, and that person will be encouraged to comment during the agenda item. And public commenters are discouraged from commenting on the same issue on both the Friday open comment and the Saturday open comment. And written notice of all these protocols will be included on the agenda and reinforced verbally at the commission meetings. So those are the key pieces from the public comment period. Then the other piece that we talked about, and Commissioner Baker, let me know if you want me to stop, was some of the decision points around commissioners engaging with the public. Would you like me to continue?
It's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So what we talked about was sort of the challenge that commissioners have with wanting to engage the public, the back and forth that sometimes occurs. And what we are recommending is that commissioners restrain their engagement with the public during public comment to clarifying questions, and that space will be afforded after all public comment for commissioners to respond if needed at their discretion. And Larry was our commissioner, Chair Carpenter was very explicit in that he didn't want that to go on and on. So he was gonna keep it short. We didn't describe a time limit though. The other piece was that we talked about the director and deputy director clarifying at the end of public comment any fairly serious mischaracterizations by the public or requesting respectful criticism of staff at the end of the public comment if we see something that sort of needs to be spoken to. And we would also exercise discretion at that point. We talked a little bit about time management, and there was a lot of conversation about how to get the PowerPoints more concise to give more space to commissioners to have engagement with each other and not just with a screen of slides. So the decision was that longer, more in-depth PowerPoints are appropriate for committee meetings, around 40 slides or so, and then staff would pare that down with the key points for the full commission meeting. And what that means is that the full commission wouldn't see all the gory details. That would happen at the commission, at the committee level, and it would be a shorter presentation with the high points. Then the final point was that the year at a glance would be reviewed at the last piece of the commission meetings, and that we would sort of agree at that point as a strong draft for the next meeting that would allow us to do better time management.
Well, my comments are that it's absolutely amazing to me, and I couldn't be prouder of Vice Chair Baker and Amy to bailing me out on this, keeping track of all this as we move through it, along with about a half a dozen other things that I don't remember. But thank you for that, ladies.
So Chair Carpenter, now I'll text you if we start heading off into the weeds.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. Commissioner Thorburn, please.
I just wanted to add that we're going to start the new process with the public testimony at our next meeting. It's not going to be applied this meeting. We needed to give notice to the public. So just wanted to mention that.
Thank you for that.